about a plan, and that God has a plan. Amen. And that God has a plan for your life. I talked about that a couple Sunday nights ago. And then last Sunday night, I talked about God has a plan for the family. And tonight, I want to, or next Sunday morning, I'll be preaching on Satan has a plan for your life, because we need to understand that as much as God has a plan for us, Satan has a plan. And I want to talk about that next Sunday morning. So you pray the Lord will bless and help us to get that message out. And then next Sunday night, I'll be talking about God has an eternal plan. You know, we need to talk about heaven every now and then. We need to talk about the sweet by and by. And you don't hear a lot of preaching about heaven, because nobody wants to love earth too good. And I love earth. I enjoy the things of life. But I tell you what, we should never, ever forget that God has an eternal plan for us forever and forever. And I'll probably talk next Sunday night about the little boy that went to heaven at 3 years of age. So I just thank God he's got a plan. Amen. And so tonight I want to talk about God has a plan for your finances. Say that with me. God has a plan for my finances. And I'm going to go tonight where angels fear to tread. It's to preach a sermon like this. Somebody said the most sensitive nerve in the body is the one that runs from the heart to the pocketbook. And so I want you to stand with me tonight as we go to Malachi chapter 3 and then 3 John verse 2. Malachi chapter 3 and 3 John verse 2. And we're going to talk about the plan. I love it when a plan comes together. Malachi chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. Will a man rob God? Question mark. Yet you rob me, but you ask. And by the way, I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version. It's not my favorite version, but it's good on this portion here. So you just read along KJV. Will a man rob God? You rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes, in offerings. Verse 9. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Verse 10. Bring the whole tithe. Now, I believe it says bring you all the tithe. The NIV, better translation, says bring the whole tithe. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because some people want to split up their tithes to different things. But the tithe is to be wholly brought into the where? The storehouse. That's right. That there may be food in my house. Somebody say his house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, I dare you to do it. Amen. And see if I will not throw open, glory to God, I love the NIV, throw open the floodgates of heaven. Oh, and pour out so much blessing. They talk about a plan. There it is. And that you won't even have room for it to receive it. Verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. Pastor mentioned that this morning. Those appliances, man, they're going to last a long time. And I thought they'll last even longer if you get them from Best Buy. Amen. And so, hallelujah. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and vines in your fields. They will not cast out fruits if the Lord Almighty. Then, verse 12, all nations will call you what? Tell somebody I'm blessed and. Now, 3 John, verse 2. Just skip right on over to 3 John. This is Old Testament Malachi and New Testament and 3 John 2. We got it? It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Thank you, Father, for the plan that you have for our family, the plan you have for our lives, the plans you have for eternity, but thank you for the plans you have for us financially. We give you the praise. Lord, speak and let your servant decrease, and we'll praise you for it. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored tonight. Say this with me. I love it when a plan comes together. God's got a plan. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, why preach on finances? Well, it's part of the Bible. Sin is part of the Bible. I should preach on sin. The coming of the Lord is part of the Bible. I should preach on the coming of the Lord. Church attendance is part of the Bible. Marital fidelity is part of the Bible. The parables, the prophecies, the poetry books, all of those are parts of the Bible. And as the Bible tells me as a preacher, Paul said, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So we as preachers are to preach it all. And part of our preaching responsibilities is to preach on finances. 16, in fact, Jesus did. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. 16 of the 38 parables deal with finances. 1 in 6 verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke alone deals with a man and his money, or a person and his money. The Bible has 500 verses on prayer, but there are 2,300 plus verses on finances. Jesus, listen, he actually mentioned money more than he mentioned prayer, heaven, or hell. So why preach on it? It's the book. Amen. And I'm to preach what the Bible says, not my opinion, and not what some televangelist driving around in a Bentley or Rolls Royce taking money from widows. I'm talking about the Word of God. This is my Bible. I have what it says I have. Amen. But not only because of the message of the Bible, your finances is part of the Bible. But I thought about not only the message of the Bible, I thought about the mess that we see in this current generation. What are you talking about? Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or death. You remember that? The great American patriot. He said, give me liberty or give me death. But our generation just doesn't say, give me liberty. Our generation just says, give me. My name is Jimmy. What you gonna give me? Come on now. Americans now owe more than $1 trillion in credit card debt. Personal savings is at an all-time low. Bankruptcy is at an all-time high. We cannot blame it on the Republicans, even the Democrats. We can't blame it on China. We must blame many of these on the mess that personal choices has made. Somewhere in there, God's not part of your financial plan. One man said, we borrow money we don't have to buy things we don't need, to impress people we don't even like. And never before do we need to realize that God has a wonderful financial plan. Beloved, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. But not only because of the message of the Bible and the mess of this generation, but what about the ministry right here at Westmoreland? There's a calling. There's a vision. Brother Ray mentioned it. Pastor Jerry, our pastor, enunciates it. There's an anointing on Westmoreland Church. And to put it quite frankly, every one of us needs to be doing our very best to sow into this ministry, to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? So that we can see the ministry and the vision fulfilled. If we want to see the lost saved, somebody say amen. If we want to see missionaries sent around the world, say amen. If we want to see Wilson change, not just a missionary in Africa, but right down the street. If we want an old-fashioned revival, listen, we've not only got to pray the price, we've also got to pay the price, because we've got to understand God has a financial plan for His church. And I believe He wants to bless us individually. He wants to bless us corporately. He has a plan. Aren't you glad for God's financial plan? Why don't you give Him a hand of praise tonight? Now, I could preach many series of messages, and I don't have the time to touch on every aspect. Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, is an excellent resource that I would highly recommend. Crown Financial Ministries is also, I actually tend to like Crown a little bit more than Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is, appeals to more of a secular audience, and I believe you gotta hit that tithing in there. I believe that's gotta be strong. And so, let's talk about tithing tonight. Now, I realize I'm preaching to the choir, per se, most of you, 99% of you here, but I believe that somebody may hear this message, and somebody may get this CD, but we need to just go with the basics, because God's financial plan cannot go beyond His command, and His command is the tithe. Somebody say the tithe. Now, someone said that the tithe is 10% of your income. That is not altogether correct. The tithe is not 10% of your income. It is the first 10% of your income. It didn't say bring a tenth to the storehouse. It said bring a tithe. The tenth is just 10%. Tithe is the first 10%. Now, that means 10 cents out of every dollar. Let's break it down. $10 out of every 100. You make $1,000, you bring home the 1,000-buck bacon, then you need to put a $100 slice of that fat into the church. Can I get a witness out here? I don't know where that came from. 10%. People say, well, I can't figure out what 10% is. If it were coming to you, you'd know it down to the penny. Don't tell me. And by the way, 10% belongs to God. Now, that is the starting point of your giving. That is the floor of your giving, not the ceiling of your giving. The tithe is like the gateway we've been talking about, the spiritual gifts. That is the door to your giving. All of your giving is not going to break even with God until that first 10% is met. Now, that is what the scripture teaches. It's not only the starting point, but listen, it's not only the first 10%. It's not only the starting point of your giving, but listen, it's fair. Somebody say it's fair. You know, if when you think of 10%, 10% is 10% whether you're a millionaire or whether you're on Social Security fixed income. You see, it's very fair. It's not equal giving God is looking for, but equal sacrifice. And one of the most powerful things that you can do in your life is to release the tithe. In fact, if you were to ask what is the one thing that you would say that you needed that would help you the most financially, some of you are like, well, what do I most need financially? Some of you would be like, well, if I get a new job. But that might not be the answer. Somebody say winning the lottery would be the most important thing I need financially. And I don't have time to go to tell you that many of the people that win the lottery wind up committing suicide, or somebody winds up killing them, or they get depressed, or they wind up losing it all, spending it all. And winning the lottery, we see, does not always solve the problem. So somebody say, well, my spouse, you know, theirs was a beautiful marriage, except for one feminine flaw. He was quick on the deposit, but she was faster on the draw. I know now marriage partners, we got to work together. Amen. I know usually there's a conservative and there's a liberal in every marriage. You know, God puts opposites together so that between the two, you have one good effort going there. Amen. But listen, it's not a new spouse that you need. It's not a new job that you need. It's not winning the lottery that you need, but your path to financial well-being, your path to being blessed and favored of God, your path to having more money than month is follow the plan. Follow the plan. Get on God's plan. Get on board God's train. Not the Trump train, but God's train. And I promise you, He will open the floodgates of heaven and He will cause you to prosper. And I wish somebody would say glory tonight, because He will supply all of my needs financially. Why don't we just stop and just give Him a hand of praise here tonight for the plan. The financial plan. Now, I want to give you three things about tithing, three very important points. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just hang with me tonight. When it comes to the tithe, point one, God demands it. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you get around to it, if you feel like it. He demands it. I'm telling you, He's God. He is a king, and kings' wishes and desires are to be obeyed. And we've got too much democracy and American mentality when we can just, well, we don't have to buckle up if we don't want to. We don't have to keep the speed limit if we don't want to. I'm an American. I can do what I want to do. No, you're a Christian. You're under orders. You have a captain. You have a general. And when what he says goes, brother, there's authority. There's power. The king's word has power, the scripture says. And his word, it means something. And for us to say, no, I will not tithe, is to break the command and the demand of the Almighty God, the very one that gives you breath. Oh my goodness. If he says it, it is our command. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's not the 10 multiple choice. It is one way or no way. It is the plan, brother. God demands it. I see some folks looking like Nancy Pelosi right now. This is not the preacher's idea. Come on now. All ye preachers want is money. Well, let me tell you something. It's not the preacher's idea. I would never tell you to pay tithes. I'd say just, you know, I'd be easy on you. I'd say just give a dollar or two and we'd all be broke. Come on now. But this is a command of God. The Bible says in Leviticus 27 and 30 says a tithe of everything. A tithe of everything is holy to the Lord. Have we got that? Just give me the thumbs up if we've got it. Oh, we got it? Okay. All right. I can't wait till we get that back screen. That's going to be so good. Amen. Thank you for tithing. Well, we're going to pay for that screen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like the praise team couldn't even see the wedding photos. They had to run down to... Anyway, I'm going to go on. She might not can find it. But Leviticus 27, 30 says, a tithe of everything is holy to the Lord. That's the NIV. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. I love that. In the Living Bible, Deuteronomy 14 and 23, the purpose of tithing, is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. Now go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints. And by the way, this is speaking of offerings, not tithing, but concerning the collection of the saints, for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even do. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Oh, thank God. He said on the first day of the week, every Sunday, which back then they got paid weekly. They almost, actually in the ancient Jewish pay system, they got paid daily. I got paid every single day. So on the first day of the week, you brought 7 days worth of pay. And now today we get paid. I get paid biweekly at Best Buy. So 26 checks a year. So and my wife Darnell gets she gets 12 checks a year. So whatever your cycle is, you are to bring the tithe. Somebody say amen here tonight. Oh, God demands it. He said upon the first day of the week, when you get paid, brother, bring that tithe and what? God will follow the plan and God will bless. Amen. Now, why does he demand it? Why does he command it? Number one, because it states our dedication, or it proves our dedication to him individually. There's no other realm in our life that more clearly indicates where we are spiritually than our checkbook. Now, I know there's speaking in tongues. I know there's running the aisle. I know there's maybe compassion for people who are hurting. But if you really, really, really want to take a, if you go to the doctor and they tell you to stick out your tongue, if you go to the doctor and they take your blood pressure, there's certain things that can kind of indicate where you are spiritually. And one of them is right there in the checkbook. Because, you say you love him. Do you love him? You say he's Lord of your life. Is he Lord of your life? You say that your all is on the altar. Preacher, my all is on the altar. But, prove it. Prove it. Now listen, just hang with me here for a moment. It's going to get a little bumpy. It's going to be some turbulence on the airplane, but we're going to land safely, I promise, and it won't be too long. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Matthew 6 and verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. What does that word treasure mean? It means your money, honey. That means your dollars. That means the bucks stops here. That means currency. Where your currency is. Look at where your currency goes, and that will show where your heart is leading. Matthew chapter 6, go down just to 3 more verses, to verse 24. It says, no man can serve what? Two masters. You'll either hate one or love the other. You'll either be devoted to one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. My friend, God demands it. Lay that tenth on the altar and show me your checkbook, and I'll show you a barometer of where you are in your Christian growth and maturity and spirituality. I know you may run the aisle, but are you writing the checks to back it up? It's not how high you jump. It's how close you walk to God. My goodness. Let's lay it all on the altar. Let's do God. He commands it. And I want to say, yes, Lord. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Well, let's take a look. You spend $132 for the cable. High-speed internet. You got an OLED television from Best Buy. It's $2,999 hanging on the wall. You got the latest iPhone 11 Pro Max, $56 a month just for the phone. The service for it, for unlimited, is for two lines is $120. Right there is almost $200 just in a cell phone. And I've worked in cell phones enough to know you can get a flip phone for $19.99 and $10 for the service. Actually, it's $20. So let's look at your finances here. Your kids have four-wheelers and iPads and the latest clothes, and nothing is wrong with that. Hey, nothing wrong with iPhone Pro Max. I plan to upgrade to get that one. I need it. It has three cameras on it, and we travel our main camera and plus at church. But listen, nothing wrong with having an OLED. Nothing wrong with having cable and high-speed internet. But here's where it becomes wrong. When we compare let's take your yearly giving to Westmoreland last year. Let's say for the entire year in tithes, let's say, now remember, you've got $132 a month in cable. You got a flat screen, high definition TV. You've got the most expensive phones. And Brother Philip hands you a piece of paper and says, for the entire year, you gave $638. Now, listen to me. Listen to me real good. If all you made last year was $6,038, you're not going to have an OLED and you're not going to have the latest iPhone. Are you with me here tonight? So if you got all this stuff here, and you've only got this stuff here in the church, then somewhere there's some disobedience. Somewhere there's not some spiritual growth. Somewhere in there, there's some areas where you're not seeing God's best for your life. And I know you're just sitting there, but that's all right. You'll love me before it's all over with. Amen. Come on now. Or what about missions? What about missions? For the whole year, you gave $41 for missions. And yet you gave over $1,500 in cable. And I'm not saying you've got to give $1,500 to missions. I'm not saying you've got to. Folks, I'm not talking about the dollar amount. I told you earlier in this message, it's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. As you are blessed of God, obey His command. Follow the plan. And another thing, too, not only does it measure your spirituality, but the tithe. God demands the tithe because not only of your spirituality, but it measures the church. It supplies the needs of the church collectively. Now go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Let's look at it very quickly here. It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Somebody say into the house. What that means is this, that the tithe belongs to the church of which you are a member or you attend. Whatever your home church is where your tithe check should go. Now, you do not split up that tithe. You don't give half to Westmoreland and half to Benny Hinn. When you do that, you're not going by the plan. You're going by your own plan. But you're trying to get holy water from Israel. But you don't need holy water from Israel. You need the hand of the Lord from God. Amen. You give the full unadulterated tithe, and you don't hold back the tithes. If the preacher steps on your toes, or the Sunday school class changes the times, or the carpet changes to green and you like pink, well, I'm just going to hold my tithe. You're going to split hell wide open if you're not careful with that attitude. You got it. The tithe don't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you better be careful. Is it your tithe to hold back? Is it your breath in your lungs? Be humble before God Almighty and quit, get off that high attitude. Listen, if they paint the church green, I'm going to pay my tithes. Glory to God. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter. What matters is me obeying God. That's some good old fashioned strong preaching. Now, if we all make it through tonight, we are going to be something else. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't take your tithe and put it in the pocket of the traveling evangelist. I've had an evangelist come through, and I'm going to tell you, that's not an evangelist I've ever had in my life. And I can tell you, working with Pastor Jerry, he as well, he and I are together on this. We bless our traveling speakers. We give them abundantly and above, even more than we take in. But I'm telling you, people all through the years, they hadn't paid the tithes in, so they give their tithe to the traveling evangelist. You know who looks big in that picture? Who looks big in that picture? The person who gave it. He looks big. Man, that evangelist must think I'm something. That's the whole purpose of tithing. It's for you to make God look big. And you surrender all. Amen. Oh, my goodness, the plan. We've got, Pastor Jerry had no idea, really, that I was going to talk about this tonight. But he walked in. He don't normally do this, but he walked into church this morning. He had two envelopes. And they were nice little letters from Wilson Utilities. They send us a letter every now and then. And they have a little figure down there. And they kind of make it plain that we have to send that little figure in. Pastor, now, is it okay if I say that? Did you tell me it was $600? $869 for what? The gas? For this church right here? $66 for the little Royal Rangers over there. My goodness. You know how we're going to make that payment? Listen, we're going, all of us are going to put our tithes in, and Brother Phillip's going to take it to the bank, and then he's going to write the city of Wilson an $869 check, and we're going to have church, because God's people's not splitting up their tithe, giving half here, half there. God's bringing it to the house. And because of that, Westmoreland shines like a city on a hill. People drive by and see the lights on and say, God is up to something in that house. And brother, when we come together and when we obey God and when we put our tithes together, we can push back the gates of hell and they will not prevail. Somebody give him praise. Well, Brother Ricky, I want to help the poor neighbor across the street. Pay tithes here first, and above your tithe, help the neighbor all you want to help them. Send money to Benny Hinn, all you will get that holy water, splash it all over you once those tithes are paid. Amen. I'm picking on Benny Hinn, by the way. I'm not against him. Amen. I went to one of his crusades one time, so I'm not against Benny Hinn. I'm not against anybody that loves the Lord. Amen. I might not agree with everything, but if every member of every church paid their tithe, I would say off their net income, not even their gross. Let's just, people talking about gross income. Pay it on your net, okay? Now, you do net, you do gross, whatever you feel led to do. But I'll take the net tithe. That's what you get paid. I'd rather you pay on your net than think, well, I can't pay on the gross. It's too much. Listen, just pay tithe on what you bring home. Amen? After they pull out this and that and the other, it's called the take-home pay. What your take-home pay is, take that little dot and move it over one little space. And if everybody in every church in America would tithe just on their net income, I'm here to tell you, we would have revival like you wouldn't believe. There would be churches could do things. We could reach people. We could do stuff. And God has a plan. I wish you'd say amen. First of all, God demands it. Say amen. Number two about the tithing, God not only demands it, he deserves it. You know, Wilson Utilities, if they don't send that check, what are they going to do, Brother Phillip? They're going to cut this stuff off. So they demand it, but they really don't deserve it. You know that this is January. I've got, I think, 10 more payments on that Lincoln Town car. And I borrowed the money from the loan fund. The North Carolina Conference has a fund for ministers with a little bit less interest rate. And churches will put in their savings. And from the loan fund, churches can borrow money to build stuff. And preachers can borrow money to get a nice car. And so, but, you know, I write my check. It's automatic draft, but to the loan fund. But to be honest with you, if I did not send Brother Orris Hubbard $230 a month, if I missed it next month, he called me. Say, Brother Ricky, how you doing? I'm doing fine, Brother Orris. Brother Ricky, I noticed you didn't send in your car payment. Now, Brother Ricky, we love you here at the North Carolina Conference. But be honest with you, Brother Ricky, we need that car payment or just send the keys. We can have your bicycle ministry in a moment. Amen. I'd be like the Mormons out here, the Mormons with a bicycle. Come on now. They kind of demand it, you know, they got to have, you know, it's voluntary like taxes. You know, we had the voluntary taxes. That's like an oxymoron. You know, that's like two words. That's like something different, you know, two words together. Anyway, the point is, listen, God is better than that. Yes, he does demand tithe, but he's not going to cut your lights off. If you don't lay your tithe at the church, he's not going to strike you with lightning. Because really, God demands it. But let me tell you something. Really think of it like this. He really deserves it. He gave his only begotten son. And I'm going to be honest with you. God really should get 100%. Amen. He should have all of our time, all of our talent, all of our money. But he's just so gracious. He said, I'll bless your 90%. Just give me a little down payment of the love. You see, God deserves the tithe. He died on the cross of Calvary. He, you know, have heard that commercial when they care enough to send the very best. He sent his very best. He gave everything. He's not asking too much. He's not being a hard God. No, you read Malachi again, and there's something he said, dare me to do this. It's almost God's like, I want to put the floodgates of heaven, but I also got to know that you're willing to love me. You're willing to serve me. God wants to, he wants to be a good steward of his blessings. Why bless somebody if they're just going to blow it? Come on now. I do believe in charity, but I also believe in responsibility. I believe you can give people money, and if they can take that money and do the wrong things with it, you've not helped them. But if you can give somebody money and they're going to be helped, and they use that money to get better and stronger, then brother, I'm all for that. But don't expect me to bail you out when you take that good hard-earned money that could go to help a hungry child in need and buy beer and cigarettes and buy all the stuff, all that stuff. No, sir. Sometimes it's a good thing when people's lights gets cut off, because then they realize they need something, and yes, they do. They don't need another dollar. They need to get on their knees and give their. They need to do like the prodigal son and come to themselves and say, "Look, why am I living this sorry lifestyle? God's got a better plan for my life." Somebody shout, "Amen!" Amen. Amen. Well, that's not very compassionate. Listen, let me tell you something. I can't fund people's vices. I can't enable people. We've got to understand the balance of Chris Thompson between stewardship and grace. There's not a need we won't help meet financially with anybody in this world. If at all possible, we can do it. But it's got to be a genuine need. And it's got to be a desire to serve the Lord better and know him, because he has a better plan. Can I get a witness out here tonight? Somebody shout amen. Well, tithing, people say, well, God demanded it, but he deserved. You remember Abraham? He went out into a battle. And I'm about to come to a close. Brother Clark, just get right ready in just a moment. I'm going to have you come to the platform, but get ready. But Abraham went to a battle. His family was stolen. His nephew Lot was taken captive. And it moved Abraham. And friend, it should move us when we see our families taken captive by drugs and alcohol and sin. And Abraham fought a battle, and a hard battle. But I tell you what, the battle is the Lord's. And the Bible said Abraham took 300. And buddy, he was facing about 15,000. No wonder Gideon had faith. He didn't at first, but God began to realize, hey, I'm the God of Abraham. All you need is 300 against me. It already happened. It already happened in the book of Genesis. Thank God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's amazing when you go through the Bible and you read what people did. Like Daniel, you know, surely he was encouraged by Joseph. Follow me? And Abraham went out there with his 300 folks, buddy. And they whooped up on that enemy. And he got his family back. And Abraham realized, this ain't my strength. This isn't my hand. And there was a priest over in Salem. Salem, who was a spiritual, you might as well say the pastor of that area, who was in touch with God. And I don't know how Abraham and them came together, but Abraham recognized, this man is my pastor. And he met me with the bread and the wine. Somebody say the bread and the wine. After that long, hard battle. You know what the bread and the wine is. It's the blood of communion. It's the blood and it's the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Genesis, and I'm off script tonight. I'm just preaching from my spirit right now. But the Bible says that Abraham gave him tithes of all. It wasn't a demand. Melchizedek, how would you like to have a pastor by the name of Pastor Melchizedek? I'm just glad it's Pastor Jerry. Amen. I'd have to call him Pastor Mel, I would think. Oh, but Abraham Abraham wasn't commanded to tithe. Abraham just said, you know what, God, you deserve this. You help me get my family back. You help me in the battles. Oh God, how can I give you a small token of what's in my heart? Friend, that's where tithing started. It started not because God demanded it by law, but God deserved it because of the love that he has for us. Oh, I want to give him all. Somebody shout hallelujah here tonight. Why don't you give the Lord a hand to pray? Have you been fighting some battles? I heard about a Jewish man and a Christian man who were friends. And they were discussing about their synagogue and the church attendance. The Christian man said, now, in the Jewish synagogue, how do you go about supporting the synagogue? The Jew said, oh, it's very clear in the book of Malachi. We're commanded to bring all the tithes. So we give our tithes and that's how we finance our synagogue. How do you Christians finance your work? The Christian said, oh no, that's under the law. We're under grace. And what we do is if we have anything left over from the week, we just bring it and throw it into the offering plate. And the Jew looked at the Christian and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. God demands it, say amen. God deserves it, say amen. And then three, God declares it. I will open the floodgates of heaven. He has declared, listen, when you open your wallet, God opens his windows. I'm not talking about a televangelist getting money from the grandmothers. I'm not talking about preachers who have 32-room houses and $100,000 cars. I heard one preacher, and I promise you, I'm not being critical in the wrong way, but he's a famous TV preacher. He's African-American. I would call his name. You know who I'm talking about. I actually like to hear him preach. He's a good preacher. But one of his friends gave him a $150,000 car. And he accepted that gift. And I told somebody, I said, the other preacher sinned in giving it to him, and he sinned in taking it. Because I'm going to tell you something. There is a line of being, when you're taking a $150,000 gift, you do not need a car that's $150,000. Not when we have children who are, now I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with not having a nice car. Now don't come out there, you know, with the wheels falling off and thinking, well, we're just going to be humble before God. No, God don't mind if you have a nice car. Amen. I'm about to pay mine off in a few years from now. I saw a 2019 MK something Lincoln, and I told somebody, I said, that's the car I'm going to get in 2028. You follow me? My car is 10 years old. No, wait a minute. 2007. And you know what? It's a great car. It's doing a great job. Ain't nothing wrong with having a brand new car. Please don't misunderstand me. But 150 is excessive. It's too much. We've got people that are struggling, and it makes us preachers look like we're in it for the wrong thing. There are some where we got to draw the line. I'm not talking about 32 room homes. I'm not talking about $150,000 cars. I'm talking to you about you and God and opening your wallet and letting God open the windows, because he will bless you. Can you say amen? He's declared, I have a plan for your finances. I am the God. People say, listen, you know what? He will take care of you. I hear people all the time say, well, I can't afford to tithe. What you're really saying is God can't afford to take care of you. That's what you're really saying. It's not that you can't afford to tithe. You really in your mind feel like God can't afford to take care of you. Listen, you're saying when you don't tithe that God doesn't have enough resources. He doesn't have enough ability. He doesn't have enough power. But I'm here to tell you, rethink that. That's a lie from the devil. You need to realize that when you open your wallet in obedience to God, when you give tithe to God, you're talking about the God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. You're talking about the God who took nothing and made something and hung it in nowhere. And as Pastor Jerry says, you can't hang your hat on nothing. Oh, my friend, he hung the world on nothing. You're talking about the God who was the water walking miracle worker of Galilee. You're talking about the God who said to the storm, peace, be stand still, and those waves that were so angry hushed like a little smitten puppy. I want you to know you're looking at a God who spit in the mud and took it and healed a man's blind eyes. You're talking about the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You're talking about the God who is the way maker, who is the miracle worker, who is the chain breaker. Brother, don't you rob God. Don't you rob yourself from God. You obey Him. He demands it. He deserves it. But He's declared, I am your God, and I will make a way where there seems to be no way, and I'll move in your life. Somebody say amen here tonight. That's the plan. That's the plan. That's the plan. People say, well, I can't pay tithe to God because I'm in debt. No, you can't pay tithe to God, not because you're in debt, but because you're in doubt. Somebody say faith. Has He made a way where there seemed to be no way? Now, I'll do disclosure. Come on up here, brother, because I've probably stirred more hornets than I can handle here. I'm glad I got a friendly audience, I think. Pull up 2 Kings 8 and 6, and we're going to bring this thing home. And just, I'll let you know when to start, brethren. Thank you so much. But all due disclosure, I've struggled paying my tithes over the years. We've had some tough financial situations, and there's been times my faith was low. Sometimes when I miss a couple of months, I'm gonna be honest with you, I struggle with it just like you do. But I remember several years ago, I was in Kinston, and I remember that to pay the tithe, I was only going to have $60 for the whole week. And that's it. Now, $60 for a whole week, that's putting it kind of thin. You know, we had to fill up with gas, got to eat. So I thought, well, I can just hold my tithes for a couple weeks, and then Darnell will get paid, and I'll just pay the tithes then, and I'll have cash flow. There's nothing wrong with having good cash flow. But it's like, you know what? The Lord got all over me. He said, Ricky, every Sunday you stand up and receive the people's tithes as their pastor. No, you can't do that. And something just came over me, and I said, you know what? If I have to eat peanut butter sandwiches this week, if I have to get borrow the Mormon's bike and ride to church, I'm going to pay those tithes now. And that was Saturday, Sunday, we put the tithes in. And I think it was Darnell's tithes this time. I don't remember what it was, but I will tell you this. Okay, hallelujah, $60 this week. This is 4th of July. We had God and Country Day, and we had a big meal after the church service. And, man, the church was full. People came out. Those were glory days back when I was in Kinston. I tell you, it was like the good old days. You ever heard that? I'm telling you, it was awesome. Every Sunday, new people, things. And we had a family that had gotten into the church. And, oh, you know them, the Schwartz family, Brother Glenn Schwartz. And he came up to me, and we didn't have church that night, and I was tired, and he said, Brother Ricky, I want to come by and see you at your house tonight. And to be honest with you, I really didn't want any company because I was tired, and I wanted to get home and just kind of, I said, well, Brother Glenn, come on by. And so, sure enough, he came on by. I didn't know what he wanted. I had no idea. But he said, Brother Ricky, I just felt led to come. This is good. Woo! This is good. He said, Brother Ricky, I just felt, well, let me just put it to you. Let me just cut to the chase. I had $1,060 that week to buy some peanut butter sandwiches, and my tithes were paid on time. My God makes a way where there's why don't you stand and celebrate tonight? I'm telling you, it's not in the stock market. It's not in the Democrats. It's not in some televangelist. My God shall supply my need according to His riches. 2 Kings, this last scripture. 2 Kings, put your hands on that keyboard and get ready to play. 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed to her a certain officer, saying, what? Restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left, even unto now. One translation, NIV again, says, the king said, give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from the time she left her land. And I like the king said. Somebody say the king said. He declares it. The king said, I'll bless. The king said, I'll restore. The king says you can't outgive God. The king says he's going to open the floodgates of heaven. I want us to lift our hands tonight. Amen. As we worship and as we praise him for the plan. The plan. Amen. Without him. Hey, has anybody else got a testimony like what I just gave? You came down to nothing, but a check came in the mail or some miracle took place. Anybody other than me has that? Can you come up here and do it? Do you mind? Come on up. Amen. Anybody else got a financial blessing that you want to testify about tonight? Now, remember, people are going to be watching this on YouTube. People are going to be seeing this. Brother Ray, come on up. And Brother Ray, let me hold the mic so they can make sure, because sometimes we hold it down here. But do you mind if I hold it? Or you want to hold it up even?
No, you okay, fine. When Judy and I got saved, one of the first things God taught us was the value of giving. And and God showed us how to tithe. Now we tithe on our gross, but that's what God told us to do. He taught us to do that. Now, if you tithe on your net, that's between you and God. But we've always tithed on our gross because God told us to. And but over the years, we've had some tight spots, like you were talking about. But you know what? God always came through. The first check that I wrote every month, Brother Jerry, was a tithe check. Because I knew. Without a shadow of a doubt, that God would make a way where there is no way. And since we've been coming to Westmoreland, I paid the first fruit starting last year. And to give God the glory, Judy and I, with all of this negative stuff we're going through, had the greatest financial year we've ever had. Hallelujah. Because God is on the throne and he will bless his children if we put him first. And somebody said, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford not to. Can't afford not to. But God taught us early on in our lives the value of tithing. Just wanted to say that and give God the glory.
Did you get a check in the mail one time?
Well, there was one incident. When our children were small, Michelle hadn't been born then. It was Jennifer and Michelle. Jennifer and Pam. We weren't making that much money then, but we were tithing, Brother Ricky. So I came home for lunch that day, and Judy was off. She was a teacher, but she was off that day. And Jennifer and Pamela, we gathered in the kitchen. We held hands, and we prayed that God would make a way. That Sunday afternoon, after we ate lunch, we went to church on Sunday morning, and we were sitting there on Sunday afternoon, and my one of my brother-in-laws called. Now, this was strictly business. All he called for, first thing he said, first words out of his mouth, he said, Ray, what do you need? So God works on the other end as well. He said, Ray, what do you need? I told him what I needed, and we didn't discuss anything else. He said, a check will be in the mail tomorrow. And but anyway, that was all business. God took care of that situation. And later on, I paid him back with interest. God always makes a way.
Yes, he does.
Always, Brother Ricky.
God. Praise God.
Message. I'm glad that I was able to share that with this message he preached tonight. Because you can't outgive God. He taught us that a long time ago. And one other thing.
Yes, sir.
Judy and I has always supported missions, and all three of our daughters at one time or another has been on the mission field, had been on mission trip. That's worth more to me than you know, than anything that God could give me. So, you know, God always makes a way. He will always make a way. And but anyway, I think I've said enough. Give God the glory.
Amen. Come on, celebrate the Lord on that. Amen. Come on up. Brother Bud, come on up. I should just let y'all preach tonight. My goodness.
I could have sit back and relaxed. Now hold that box down. Let me hold it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I could go on and on and tell you a whole lot. You know, I know ever since I was saved and I helped build the Westmoreland Church. And I've tithed ever since then. And I've always had a good job, had four children, and I supported them. But the first thing I ever done in the week when I got paid, I paid my tithes first. And then my bills were taken care of later on. In fact, I won't late with my bills. I paid them on time, but I paid them. But I know over the years and all, I've helped my children more than one time. I bailed them out, put it that way. And but I think in a way that was a good thing because over the last few years, they hadn't had to bail me out, but they sure have helped me. And and I know that I got bills now that I pay, but I still, for years, I sent to missions and child, and I paid my tithes on time. And even in these circumstances, when doctor bills and all that, but I had enough insurance to take care of it. Very, very little I had to pay out of my pocket. And now, I mean, I'm paying out of my pocket. I mean when a car or a truck or something or other needed repairs, I had the money to pay for it. And for the last 10 or 15 years, I've never drawn a penny of my savings out, because I did before that. I bought cars and trucks and stuff that with some of my savings. But for the last 10 or 15 years, I lived on what I made and what Social Security. And you know, you don't prosper a whole lot with Social Security.
Right.
Actually, this last year, I'm going to take home less, $20 less a month for me and John. But God has made the difference.
Yes.
And I mean, I've had help, abundance, I mean, to come my way. And I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to realize that how things have flowed. And I mean, I pay my bill. I mean, each month I keep my balance in there at a certain amount. When it comes back down to a certain amount, I worry a little bit about it. But then somehow God sees it bounce back up. So there you go. So I don't worry about bills anymore. I know God is going to take care of me.
Yes.
And he has helped me all my life. And I don't know that I haven't bankrupt. And he's still on the throne.
Praise God. Come on. Amen. Hold it up here.
Amen. You know, I learned seed time, harvest time through my father. He was a clerk at the church, and I watched his life as I was growing up, and I knew you'd give your tithes, and God would bless you. And I've told this story. I could tell a bunch of stories, but I'm just going to tell this one. People here have heard it, but I'm going to tell it for the people out there. It's on live stream. I needed a set of tires one time. I had set my tires aside, and I was going to make sure my tires were going in the church. I didn't have a spare tire. And the devil said, "You can't even get to church. You need to buy a tire." And he aggravated me all the way to that Sunday morning. I put that tithe in the offering plate. Monday, I walked into work. The salesman come up and said, take my car down to Firestone and get me four brand new tires. And I looked at those tires he had on there. I said, "Them things look like they're brand new." What? He said, "You can have them. I got four steel belly radial tires fit my car because I gave to God."
Come on and give the Lord a hand of praise tonight.
I've been at Westmoreland about 24 years. I remember when we first came here, we started with about $10,000 in cash flow. Back then it took about that to operate this church. And we gave and gave and gave that year. And we got down about $800. And I'm a new pastor, sort of, kind of. And I'm praying, and a man called me from Georgia. And he said, "I just sold a piece of land. There's a cashier's check in the mail for you. Made that to your church for $7,000. A business associate of mine. We just thank God for that. Then in 2018, this church, we gave and gave and gave and gave. And we got down very low on our cash flow again. But we got a building fund. Everything's debt-free. But this church gives, not just a tithe. We give anywhere from 22 to 26% of everything that comes into this church to other places, other ministries, missions, and all types. Let's see, feed the hungry. Now, that's just one of the outreaches that we do and others. And we got down, what was it, like about $800 in 2018. I'm talking about cash flow it takes to operate this place. And today, Brother Philip, I told him, I said, "I'm not worried about it at all." Brother Elam Johnson had asked me a question one day. He said, "Have you ever heard a script, a sermon preached on this? Is the seed still in the barn?" I said, "I've not, but you're going to hear one." And I've only preached that sermon once, but I preached the sermon, "Is the seed still in the barn?" And I told Brother Pearson back there, I said, "I'm not worried about it at all. Our seed is not in the barn. It's been planted, and the monies will come in." And God turned that thing around within a year, and we set fat at $30,000 just to operate. That's just operating budget here. And God has been good to us. And that's the power of a seed. That's the power of sowing and reaping. There's a seed time and a harvest. Doesn't mean that you won't have to use your faith. It just means that if you will plant your seed, God will open the windows of heaven. He will pour you out a blessing. Pastor Ricky.
Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer around the altar tonight. Let's just all come and dedicate ourselves to Him. If you are not tithing regularly, I want you, now I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just come up and you and the Lord talk tonight and say, "Father, let me become a testimony like these others tonight." Go ahead and sing.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Come on, let's close in
victory
prayer.
Today is mine. I told Satan,
Lord, I commit myself to you.
Victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I call Satan to get me.
Come on, lift those hands of
victory.
Yes, victory is mine financially.